until Jesus comes, and we should not neglect the gathering together of one another. He said, where two or more are gathered, you'll be right there in the midst of them. Please teach us. We're about to eat your bread, to look into your perfect law of liberty. Only your spirit can interpret your word. Dear Rabboni, teach us yourself, we pray. Let the Bible come alive this morning, Lord. I pray nobody will be bored. I pray Satan will not walk in it. We know all of his common tricks. I pray, Father, that there will be, you will put an interest in your word in every heart that is gathered. And Father, I pray, God, that we'll do justice to revealing what your will is for our generation this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray. Praise ye the Lord. The sermon topic this morning is, I don't even know whether it's a topic. I've been thinking of a topic. I couldn't think about it. But I'm just going to share. I really don't want to preach sermons anymore. I just want to share the word of God. Sermons are so formal. You know what I mean? Like the holy man is in front and he's about to delve into heaven and teach you something you've never heard. There's nothing coming forth today that you have not heard 1,000 times before. But every time God's word goes forth, it is new. Now, I need you to pray. It's now on you that you will not leave this place without hearing from the prince that loves you and gave his life for you. Not the preacher, not the power of exposition, but the spirit of the living God. God brings truth to the heart of a man. All the Harvard School of Theology and Seminary, the Yale, you know, all these schools started at theological schools, right? You guys know that. You know that. All these Northeast schools started at theology schools. Then they stole it from us, but they were schools originally. All these professors, they cannot add a thing. That's why when Christ went about choosing teachers, guess who he chose? What kind of profession? Fishermen. So that's to tell you that it doesn't take all of Brother Shegun's degrees to expand the gospel. All of Brother Shegun's learning cannot do anything for us in this place. None of it. All of that sophisticated rhetorics, Hebrew and Greek. But when the Holy Spirit speaks in the mouth of a fisherman, there's life. I don't know what you want. John the Baptist said, I don't know what you've come to church to see this morning. You've come to hear a fantastic sermon from Brother Bumi. Good for you. He's not in town. But if truly you have come to hear a word from Jesus, congratulations. So I was seeking for a title and I couldn't get any. So, and that's good for me too, because I've said I don't want to preach. I don't know how long this will take. Hopefully I'll be off before I bore you all. But I decided to call it, you are born again, so what next? Because as I look around, and I was thinking to myself, one of the greatest things with us Christians is that we become very bored with the Christian race. You know what? After, you can only attend so many prayer meetings before you go, okay, what am I really getting out of this? You could only attend so many Bible studies before, when they start reading the verses, you know the end of it. It takes a kind of stubbornness to stick to it. People who are intellectually honest, when they stop getting stuff from church, they stop going to church. So the question is, now I'm born now, and of course, it's very, very difficult for a church to keep you entertained and preoccupied. You know how hard entertainers work in order to keep it. You can't keep listening to the same hit song for 5 years. It goes out of vogue. So they have to go back and still create new hits. Unfortunately, we have no new hits. Jesus is our message from the foundation of the world on until the cloud parts. And I tell you, here's the news of God to all of you sitting here this morning. One day, that cloud will part. And we will welcome the Savior of the world, the King of the universe, the King of glory, our Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day, it will not matter how many degrees, all the things, the secondary thoughts in your heart this moment, they will not matter on that day. Until that day comes, we are commanded to go forth and preach Jesus, and there's a reason. But I empathize with Christians because I see Christians get bored. Even churches get bored. We got so bored. We got tired of hymns. We decided, okay, maybe we should prep it up a bit. And then we started discotheques and music and all of that in the church. It's just to get us excited. He got bored with the KJV, and now we have about 100 translations, and we are no more holy than when we had just the KJV. But then Jesus is asking, or rather, we are going to explore the Bible to say, now you are born again, so what? Do you know how at times it's really, really smooth sailing in the first few months of your walk with the Lord Jesus? And then what happens? It's not a rhetorical question. I really mean it. I really need some, because I've promised I'm not going to preach again. I want to discuss. What happens? Am I making, before we build on this, am I making an assumption that this journey is so long that you get bored? Is that a lie? Who can identify with that? You can only attend Sunday church before you know exactly that after announcement, there's going to be what? And after sermon, we're going to have the benediction when there's no communion, and there's communion today. You all know exactly how this fellowship, because you've been there over and over again so many times. But what is it that we can do as Christians to keep our experience of Jesus fresh? What is it that God expects us to do? They speak to us as though all they expect us to do is to attend church services, go to choir meeting, attend prayer meeting. And out of our faithfulness, we do it. And we cannot tell anybody because they will say we're unholy. When we say we're tired, we don't want to go for these meetings anymore. They'll start telling us maybe we're not holy. One of the most difficult things in Christianity is to go before the Lord and actually tell him exactly how you feel. The Israelites, the Jews, this is the difference between the Old and the New Testament. The Lord tested them in the Old Testament with a set of rules and ordinances and practices. And he left them to practice it to see how faithful they could be. And even they got bored. They could no longer keep the Sabbath, the Feast of the Tabernacle, the Passover. There were so many of them. It was supposed to get them engaged. So the Lord Jesus said, I'm done away with ordinances. Now I'm going to start a new thing. I'm going to develop a spiritual relationship with you. I will write those laws upon your heart. I will make you like me. I will put my own spirit within your soul. If that's not the kind of relationship that you have with God right now, what you have is Old Testament relationship. That's why the Bible says you don't need to call anybody papa anymore. In those days, the priests were their papas. If they wanted to go to God, they would have to go through the prophets and the priests. Jesus said, no more. Only one is your father, me. Because I will put my spirit into all of you. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because we really have to be clear what it is that God has given to us so that we can pray along and walk in it. Does that make sense, everybody? Because of the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, what God wants in every born-again Christian is a personal what? What does personal relationship mean? I'm not going to talk you to death this morning. Because all of us have the Spirit of God in us. And I need people to please preach with me. What is a personal relationship with God? Let's have a discourse. Anybody, please, don't let me suffer to get people engaged. You people weary preachers out. Just let us talk all the time. I love the word one-on-one. I will borrow it. What does one-on-one mean?
Hello.
Ah, Sister Jackie, I could always trust in you. That Creole thing, me, you know me, I know you. That, I've not even read any scriptures. That is what being born again is. That's what Jesus wants.
You don't need to go through Brother Alaoluwa. If you are still a Christian after three and Brother Alaoluwa still needs to lay hands on you, you don't have you know me and I know you. That's not what Jesus wants. Trust. Although you cannot see him. Is that the kind of relationship you have with God? Let me tell you, be careful of churches. They're going to make you depend on them. Be careful of preachers. They love it when you depend on them. It validates their existence. That's not what Jesus wants. He has broken that mold a long time ago. He died on the cross so that you, the poorest, the youngest, the oldest of us, can have a one-on-one relationship. Is it John 21? After he resurrected and he appeared to one of the disciples, you know what the Lord said? Auntie, you say, I've not seen, I've forgotten your name. Auntie Bolanle. Auntie Bolanle, that we only see when we need choir people. May the Lord help you, Auntie Bolanle. Let's pray for Auntie Bolanle. May the Lord strengthen you. You will not neglect us in Jesus' name. Okay. What did Jesus say to his disciples? I told you, we're not going to preach a sermon this morning. We're going to talk like brother and sister. We're going to discuss our family matter. Is it John 21? Please remind me. When the Lord, he said, go and tell my brother and your brother that I go to my father and what? Your father. You are born again, so what next? How do you keep people engaged for the remainder of their lives? What does God expect from you? Let's open our Bibles quickly to John chapter 15. And this is the Lord Jesus, your Savior, the only person that loves you. There's no one on earth. Paul was talking about himself to the First Corinthians and another big preacher called Apollos. You know what happened there? And Peter. What happened was that Paul was so brilliant in his ministration. This guy, Apollos, was so eloquent in his ministration. They were what you call big men of God. And then there's Cephas. Cephas was so distinguished. He met Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He had a legitimate right. So it confused people a little bit. Some of them started saying, I belong to Paul. Others would say, I belong to Apollos. Others would say, I belong to Peter. I belong to Wale. I belong to Oyedepo. I belong to Paul of Tarsus. I belong to Paul of Ibadan. They started saying all of these things. And the great apostle said, enough. Did any of us die for you? Say, we are mere servants by which you have believed, and God has given to everybody someone by which they might believe. Let us return the attention to the Lord who loved you and saved you. So this is the Lord that we're going to quote directly from this morning. And I pray that you will know that God is near you by the time you leave church today. You will know how much this God loves you personally. There are too many things occluding the glory of Jesus from his people. John the Baptist said, I must decrease while he must increase. So you are born again, so what? Christ said, listen, I am the vine, from verse 1 of John 15. My Father is the vine dresser. Have you ever heard that before? Have you? You've heard vine and vine dresser. You've heard that in church before. Are you shy? I would think not. You don't look shy. Jesus said, I am the vine. And Adewale does not dress the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, what will he do? How does that make you feel? I'm born again, so what next? Are you bearing fruit? Number one thing that I want you to bear this morning, that I'm born again, what next? God expects you to bear fruit. The Lord expects you. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, it will give you a list of the fruit of the Spirit. Number one, when you are born again, you quickly focus to bearing what? You are not born again to go to church, attend services, attend programs, do this, do that. All of those are just means to enable fruit bearing. None of you go to work to work. You go to work to earn a living. Work is just the means to earn a living. I know there are some of us here that if they offer to pay us our salary without having to come in, we'll gladly take it. There's so much stress, right? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, my Father who dresses the vine will take it away. And every branch that bears fruit, my Father will do what? He will prune so that it may bear. There should never be boredom in Christianity. We're going to preach a series on the fruit of the Spirit at some point in church. Are you bearing fruit? We are bored because we do not know that the Lord expects us to bear fruit. I'm reading from Galatians chapter 5. It says, now, I'm going to start reading from verse 19. Say, now the works of the flesh are evident. Say, look, let's not debate what the works of the flesh are. Clear about it. According to the Holy Spirit, right? Am I right? Please, if you are tired, you can stand up. And I promise I won't take too long. Because what is happening to you as a born-again Christian is, even as we sit here, your flesh is fighting your spirit. In traditional Yoruba language, they say, Emi Ataranja. There's a battle. As we speak here, it's not you. There's a battle going on, and you know it. I don't need to persuade you. You all know it. You know the famous Romans chapter 7, Brashego and I did an exposition on it. What I want to do, I find I cannot do. What I cannot, I don't want to do. That's what I find myself doing. Oh, miserable man, that I, who will now deliver me from this body of sin? All of us are familiar with that struggle. But we act like there's no struggle. For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. As a born-again Christian, you must bear fruit. Now go and learn how to be led by God's Spirit. Every day you'll be led by something. If you mark the calendar, you are going to say majority of the days in this year, you have been led by your own vision and your own goals. Think about it. How many people of us can truly say that we have prepared in the Spirit for every day? We have not relied on our own power or on our own experience. How many of us can say we have risen up early and truly we have depended on the Lord today? No, we have encountered almost every day in the flesh. But God did not design it to be that way. How many of us can truly say that the preeminent thoughts in our hearts today are thoughts of the Spirit? You know what thoughts of the Spirit are? Someone should give me another spiritual word for it. You people are the ones that will make this sermon long if you don't respond to me quickly. I don't want to keep you, but if you keep me, we'll stay here long. No, according to the Bible. Okay, I mean, just use your, I don't want you to read my mind. I don't have an expected answer. Just anything. That's a lofty. Yes, thank you. I agree with that. But you're right. I was looking for the thoughts of the kingdom.
The owner of the kingdom is God.
Yes. But I like the word kingdom because it gives you a sense that you are living in a space and a time with rules and objectives and vision and personalities and trials and challenges and oppositions. Every day we are supposed to get out of our house as born again Christians because we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness. Aliana, into the glorious kingdom of Jesus. There's another king as a born again Christian and another dominion. We were once in darkness, now we're in light. The rules have changed for you and I, mommy. But how many of us have sincerely walked? Remember, we're speaking from Galatians 5. Say we should walk in the Spirit. How many of us have really, really thought? How many days has it been that the preoccupation of our minds every day has been this preoccupation of the Spirit? That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. When you woke up that day, every problem the previous day gave to you, have we sincerely in prayer? Sincerely. You know when you're just telling God stuff and you know what you want to do in your heart, and you know as against when you're truly leaning on the Lord. When you're led by the Spirit, if it's the matter of the kingdom of God that is in your heart, not just your graduation. If it's the coming of Jesus Christ that keeps you alive, if what you're truly excited for is the time when the trumpet will sound, if your direction for your life is taken from scriptures, that's what it means to be led. That's when you find that someone will insult you on that day and you not go to HR. Because you are led by the Spirit, you'll be saying, forgive him, O Lord. If only he was born again, he will not be doing this. That's why we get bored. We get bored easily because we are born again. But what's next? Every kingdom has its preoccupation. Satan is preoccupied with making sure you don't even remember the kingdom until the trumpet sounds. He's preoccupied to making sure that although you're now a virgin, you're born again, that trumpet will sound and you will have no oil. It's an active spiritual preoccupation. Philippians 2:12 says, now work out your own salvation. Now, are you born again now? Says, now work out your own salvation with what? A preoccupation. Being a Christian is a full-time job. Because your adversary, the Satan, the devil, is what? Oh, you know, was it Moses that, or who was it that the Lord said, they said, open their eyes that they may see. As we sit here, there are demons in some of these pews. There are demons. You don't see them, but they are there. No, you can't ban them. It's their job to be here. They may not be in your heart, but they are there. They will do that until the Lord opens that bottomless pit and throws Satan in it. He has the carte blanche to go everywhere. He said, I go to, in fact, it was in the meeting that God was having with his angels. How will you not see that you ordinary people, you're not even angels, that he will not be in your meeting? When it was even in the meeting that the Lord himself was chairing. He said, where have you been? I've been all over the place in the book of Job, to and fro, doing what? Exactly what you've told me to do now. Says, so what have you come? I've come to accuse one of the brethren. The Lord did not say, why are you accusing him? Because his time had not come. So are we not going to be ready for this? Why do we accost this Christian walk as though we are fighting against flesh and blood? Now that you're born again, what's next? Galatians 15, it went on in verse 22 to say the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against which there's no law. And we're going to study this later. Where I want to just pick that off today is from that John 15 that says that bear fruit. What that means is there's none of us here that can say There's none of those fruits of the Spirit that you still have work to work on. It is your job to increase it. Has your kindness increased in the last 6 years since you've been born again? Do you know that God has given to you everything? We read it. To increase in kindness because Jesus has given us. That temper that disturbs you, do you know it doesn't belong to you? It's on the cross of Jesus already. Fear, do you know Jesus already took it away? I said, go and bear fruit. Let there be evidence that will be clear to the whole world that you are now mine. We Christians are bored. Guess what? I see a lot of us, we have parties and we play devilish music. Because we are bored. We need to pep up our parties. We have lost our bearing as Christians. We are bored with Christian songs. We are now jiving to things that our forefathers used to criticize. New Covenant Church, let us be proactive and clear that we belong to God. There are two kingdoms. Those kingdoms cannot merge. Satan is trying to merge them, but they cannot merge. Stand on whose side you are. If you belong to Jesus, stay with Jesus. Let people know that you belong to Jesus. He said, for those who are ashamed of me before their friends and men, I will be ashamed of him when my Father will come. Don't let's be deceived by Satan. You cannot cruise this Christian walk without being criticized. The world will not love you if you belong to Jesus. We are bored. We are bored. So, of course, we are replacing preachers with motivation speakers. What do you call them? Motivational speakers. But we have to go back to the Spirit. The things of righteousness are the things of righteousness. We are bored because we are not about the Master's business. He wants you to be bold. He wants us to grow in kind, brother Olariwaju. When Jesus sees him gentle today, in 3 years, he wants him to be gentler. In 4 years, to be gentlest. Grow. Let's teach our converts to grow. Let's not entertain them with iniquity. Let's not compromise on the stance of God. We cannot merge the two kingdoms. So you cannot serve God and stand. If you belong to the Lord, stand with the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, it means let the redeemed of the Lord say, we are redeemed of the Lord. We're bored. The church is bored. They're tired of seeing people sleep. Of course people will sleep because you no longer preach repentance. Nobody can sleep when their heart is made plain before the Holy Ghost. And now we're bringing comedians to church. Can you see we're bored? When do you go to comedians? When you are sad, but you need something, someone to make you laugh. When you are no longer excited at the things and the prospect of God, comedians, you will need to hire comedians to make you laugh. I'm born again, so what? Many of us have been stagnant. I hope all of us will be honest enough to do an audit of our spiritual work and say, like the Lord said in John 15, although I'm bearing fruit, am I allowing God to prune me to bear more fruit? Even those who are bearing fruit, they will be what? Some of us think we've arrived. Because I've said the sinner's prayer, I did this, I made the confession, everybody know. You think you are, as long as Satan is alive, you have not arrived. Because even Paul, who I believe you will believe is greater than you in this work, at least more diligent, he said, even after I preached this sermon, even I myself may be a what? He says, so I do what? I put my body under. We don't even make an attempt to put our bodies under anymore. And we don't encourage one another to do that. But let's go back to the real things. Now that I'm born again, bear fruit, number one. You will never be bored if you are preoccupied with fruit bearing. Philippians 3, let's go. Someone should please read Philippians 3, 1 to 15. We're not going to read the whole thing. Our time is spent. I don't want Satan to let people start sleeping on me. Philippians chapter 3, So she started reading from verse 1. The next point I want to make is, you are born again, start striving for perfection. Finally, my brethren.
Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things.
Sorry, it's going to take a... Let's start from verse 12. So we'll cut it short a bit.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press forward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded.
And okay, that's okay. Well, thank you very much. Have you ever been in meetings where, I don't know, I think we even hear no one is perfect more than we hear Jesus is Lord in Christianity. It has become an excuse for us not to strive. So, number two, now that I'm born again, start striving for perfection. But the question then is, what is perfection? Every time, let me make clear to you, that chapter, go back and read that chapter. That chapter tells you the biblical definition of Christian perfection. Don't let Satan define perfection. They harass you and they say, oh, don't strive for perfection because it's impossible. That's because they don't know what the Bible means by perfection. You see, when the Bible talks about we have assumed the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ, tell me, I'll give you an illustration. Who do you consider to be a perfect child as a parent? What is perfection in the context of parenting? Is it a child that does not do anything wrong? Please, it's not a trick question. Why is everybody looking at me? Huh? What? An obedient child. So that obedient child can sincerely be wrong. That obedient child can misbehave. But what happens when an obedient child is told about their misbehavior? Brother Olariwaju, what's the reaction you expect from a perfect child? They will apologize. That's a perfect child. Does a perfect child mean the child has no blot in him? No, that's why you call him a child. The blot and the getting rid of the blot is part of the upbringing, the development of a child. But when Satan wants to tell us as Christian children and discourage us from striving and moving towards our Father, he says that's impossible. No, your process of falling, your process of standing up, your process of being forgiven, your process of repenting, your process of reading the Bible, your process of falling down, Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, and rising up again, that is what God calls a perfect child. And I like the phrase you use. Obedience is the hallmark of a child. Strive to be an obedient child to God. The difference between a perfect and a non-perfect Christian is this. When a perfect Christian falls down, he rises again. When a perfect Christian sins, he asks for forgiveness. When a perfect Christian is corrected, he does not have a stony heart. He reacts to it. He listens to his Father. He's in tandem with his Father. The imperfect Christian is stubborn. The perfect Christian does not see that he has lost the way. The imperfect Christian is a nominal Christian. The imperfect Christian argues with the Bible. The imperfect Christian tries to say that they know more than. The imperfect Christian makes assumptions about their heavenly Father. A perfect child seeks every day to please his father and his mother. Strive to be a perfect child. Now that you are born again, strive to learn. Know the love that God has for you and learn to walk with that. You know, I always say, you know when we hear about scandals on TV, right? Imperfect people look at the imperfect man and they laugh at him. You know, you'll be very surprised on Judgment Day that some of those ministers that you are laughing at, they will be in front of the queue and many people that you think will be there will not be there because they are perfect. They are perfect because they do not trust in their own righteousness. While you are there blabbing Why the world, not you guys, oh, I mean, why the world is there blabbing at them? They are bent before their father, repenting like David. David was a murderer and an adulterer, and there was no one in Israel who was as perfect a child as David was, because he was obedient. He wrote Psalm 51 in his worst moment. Blot out my transgression. Take my. David had a one-on-one relation, not through the priest. He had a one-on-one relationship with the Father. Point number two, strive for perfection. As long as you are striving, as long as your goal is God, as long as you seek to please Jesus, you will never miss it. You may not have attained to it. Paul said, not that I've attained. Then he said, as many of you as are perfect or mature, he said, have the same mind. That's what the Christian perfection mindset means. The mind when you are preoccupied with spiritual things, with all of the flaws, with all of the benefits, and the grace of God vindicates you, although the world may condemn you. That's a perfect child. Why the disciples perfect? Why they not fighting one another? Did one of them not sell the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver? Did you not read in Galatians how Peter did not interpret the scriptures about the law and faith correctly and had to be corrected? Did you not read when Paul himself said, now I'm being foolish? Yet they were perfect because they had a perfect mindset. So please remove every other mindset. Now that you are born again, number two, strive for Christian perfection. That is obedience. Thank you, Ramoke. Was it in Mitun or Ramoke? You guys are twins. I don't know. I want you to know that perfection is not a state. It's a mindset in Christianity. We are always going to be striving until Jesus comes. Don't give up. If you do this, you will not be bored. Strive for holiness. That's one word that we don't hear about in church. In fact, the word holiness is almost an insult. And then they added a holy than thou to it to intimidate people like Mitun and Ramoke. If they dare stand up in the midst of their classmates and talk about an ideal. You're acting holier than thou. Why are you judging me? Holier than thou. Holiness has become an ugly thing, an ugly word. It used to be a beautiful word in Christianity. In fact, the world used to see us holy. What does the word holy mean, by the way? Who knows? That's just what it means. It doesn't mean color white. We think holiness means color white. No, it just means I'm set apart. All of you here are holy in some context. All of you are set apart to do the jobs you are doing at work right now by your contract. With a Christian, it just means you are set apart now from the rest of the world to serve the living God. If you are set apart to serve the living God, why do you pollute yourself with the world? Why are you found in places where people who have the special task of serving the living God should not be found? The priests were not to take certain wines because they were set apart. That's all it means. It means of all the people in the world, God has set you apart for his service. Isn't that a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters? Hebrews chapter 12:12-15. There, I think it says we should seek peace with all men and holiness without which what? Do you think about that? I mean, when was the last time you said, I'm not holy? Oh? How can a Christian say, I'm not holy? Can everybody just say, I am holy? We are holy. We better be holy, brothers and sisters. We better know in our head that we are set apart for special use. You are not the run of the mill. You are not like everybody on the street. That's what salvation means. That's why you are born again. You are now born to serve the living God. Be bold about it. You are holy. You are set forth, set apart. You should feel special. We should relate ourselves. Holiness. Strive for holiness. And also for what? Peace with all men. Without which no one. Now that you are born again, stay away from trouble. Don't be found where there's dispute. Walk away from it. Avoid it. Holiness and peace with all men, without which no man will see God. I believe all of us want to see God. These are things that, children of God, we have to put in mind. And then we'll finish with the First Peter passage that Romoke read for us this morning. Because it says something very, Second Peter says something very important as we close. Verse 2-4 tells us the provision that God has made. And I want you to listen to this in verse 3. His divine power has given to you everything that we need for life, to do everything we've been saying, and for godliness. Mommy, do you believe that? Everything. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you find yourself not being able to do something that God wants you to do, it's not because it's not there. It's because the Lord is calling your attention to go before him. Everything you need by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God is not expecting you to go and figure it out. In Christ, he has given to us everything that we need. And he has given to us through the knowledge of Jesus, who called us by glory and virtue. And then he has given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this we will be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of lust. We have escaped that. Then he said, exactly because of this, do what in verse 5? Do what? Verse 5. Giving all diligence. As born again Christian, if you don't want to be bored, now be diligent. It's not going to happen automatically. Giving all diligence. Add to your faith what? Virtue. To virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, add self-control. Perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. Now that I'm born again, now what? Go get more gentle. Now that I'm born again, what next? What next? Go learn to persevere in Christ. Now that I'm born again, what? Don't excuse that incident in your heart of impatience. Don't write it off as I'm at least better than other people. No, no. Add patience. Now that I'm born again, what? Add a more diligent prayer life. Now that I'm born again, what? Make sure all of the promises of the Bible, they are accomplished in you. Because you have a one-on-one relationship with God, and you have everything you need. Now that I'm born again, then verse 8, which is where I'm going. Say, if these things are yours, and they are growing, it will make you neither barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which means you are not going to be bored as a Christian. When we are bored as Christians, it's because we've left the path. We are not applying diligence. Our eyes have let what it should be on. The Christian life should not be boring. It should be for you a life of crisis, of joy, of righteousness. Your sins should bring you pain. Even sins you are committing that nobody knows should bring you pain. You don't need to wait till your sin is obvious. If the Spirit of God is active in you, that little lie should bother you. People say they don't know what to pray for. Does your imperfection not hurt you? That's something that should keep you awake and make you rise up early and say, Lord, I know it's not obvious to Damilola. Well, I was a little chippy there, Lord. And you said I should have patience. Oh, how long, Lord? How long before I'm able to take this without being chippy? Lord, they didn't see, they didn't notice. I've mastered the art of controlling my external emotion, but you know that I'm angry. And you do not look at external things, you look at the internal. Lord, give me the calm of Jesus. That's at least a 5 minute prayer point right there and then. Lord, I hate on this person that just hated on me. But your word says that I should love them and prayerfully. But if you've forgotten that that's what God wants you to be, you're okay. But if you remember, you're not going to congratulate yourself for telling that person off. You're going to be in crisis. You're going to say, Lord, when am I able to fulfill? When will I be able to fulfill Matthew? They hit your car on the road and you just go off the handle, which is natural. But your reaction as someone, a born-again Christian, should be, oh, Lord, when am I going to have the supernatural gift of just blessing them? Just bless them. Although you did not curse back, although you did not give the middle finger, because now you're a Christian, you don't do that kind of stuff anymore, but in your heart, you're furious. Do you know that God expects you to be generous? Because it's written in Matthew, those who despisefully use you, what? Pray for them. Strive. Add to your faith. All of us have faith. But I say, add virtue. Do people look at you as you sit down and they say, that's a virtuous man? Perseverance. Do they say that's a persevering Christian? Patience. Do they say that's a patient man? Brotherly kindness. Do they say this guy is just swims in the kindness of a Christian? Look, this is not a sermon for condemnation for you. It's to tell you that God wants us to be there and he has made provision. And listen, if you make your preoccupation this, other Christians will be stagnant. Let's finish that verse. I think he actually talks about it in verse 8. 9. He who lacks these things is short-sighted. And I dare say that's what I see most of the time these days. Even to blindness, it's as if we don't even know what is wrong or right anymore. And they've forgotten that they are born again, that they've been cleansed from their old sin. They are back doing the same old things, but now with Christianese tag. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now that you're born again, I hope everybody here can answer what next. You're not just born. Philippians 1:29 says you have not been called just to believe, but also to suffer for Christ. Now they're born again. What? Don't let people coddle you into a spiritual baby, perpetual spiritual baby. I think we learned about that last week. Grow. God expects us to grow. And there's a lot of, look, if your friends are not telling you, you better be telling yourself. Don't justify yourself. He that justifies himself will not prosper. Let God justify you. It was God that said, this was my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. When someone came to Jesus and said, good master, Jesus said, I'm not good, only one. It's God that should justify you. The holiest of men in Christian history always saw themselves as less than they should. And then they persevere and God lives. It's God who said, who will say of his disciple, welcome home, you good and faithful servant. Now, if the pursuit of righteousness and the kingdom of God is your primary longing, you will never be bored. That's the answer to, now that I'm born again, what? Don't believe anybody that tells you is just come to church. You're forever doing Bible study. Nothing is happening. You have been praying. They even take you to the mountaintop to pray. Nothing. No. Be led by God's Spirit. Strive for a mano, one-on-one relationship with your God. Look into his word and his knowledge. Let the pursuit, like you're pursuing promotion at work, pursue the pleasure of Jesus Christ. Be an obedient child. Know the scriptures. Desire the sincere milk of the word of God so that you can grow thereby as newborn babes. I pray the Lord will help us to grow. I pray that it will be obvious that we are heading one way, that we will not be stagnant. In Revelations, it says you are lukewarm. You are not cold and you are not hot. And I will speak. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name. Now that you are born again, please arise, pursue the kingdom of God. Don't be the same. Be prayerful. Believe the word of God. You can. Satan will tell you it's impossible, but it's not. It's possible. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Deliver us, Father, for the backsliding, from the backsliding that is in the world today. Everywhere I turn in your word, there's an urgent appeal to a spiritual worship of you, to consecration, to holiness. And I know there's an attack of Satan against this theology. Having not been able to stop the gospel, Satan has striven to make the gospel ineffective. Baba, please destroy this work of Satan. Return us to days and age when your children strove for you, when they are not striving for entertainment, performative, but services, programs without end, without meaning. But we're having programs, we're not even examining how effective it is. Give us to, return us to the time when the pleasure was Jesus in the church. When the pleasure was you, Lord, the heart of your people was full of love. From the poor, the smallest, to the oldest of us, there was an objective reference point for us. You are the light of the church, the bridegroom. Jesus, give us the grace to focus on you so that we know we are serving a person, not a program. Lord, help us to grow. Let there be growth. Pour your spirit upon us, we pray. As we go forth today, help us not to forget. Give us the courage to choose you, the courage to strive for perfection, to be obedient to your holy name, so that when that trumpet sounds, we will not be disappointed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah.